Okay. Pretty cool. Let me just read a few of them to you. I have a couple other things I'd like to share. I'd like to spend some time on doing things I don't want to do. An example, when is it okay to say, not my gift or strength, better to let someone else do it? Or when should we say, God, take my weakness and glorify yourself by using me? Here's one, role of sports and families. How much is too much? How do you balance it out? What's your level of involvement? That's a key one there. I guess in the past couple years, I've seen a lot of families drift just because of sports. And I guess I'm encouraged. I heard that David Griffith, he's big into soccer. He's a good soccer player. And he found out that with his schedule, half of his games would be Sunday morning. And so, independent of his parents, he said, I'm not going to play soccer. I thought, wow, that's great. That's encouragement to me. So just trying to balance out sports, and it's become a big part of our lives, and sports and church and things that are most important. Another one, communication with wife and child. How do we take an active role in the process? That's a big one there. I know in our society today, it seems like, or as males, and just a whole lot of reasons, we're not initiating like I think God wants us to. And I think we have a lot of frustrated wives because we're not initiating in communicating and discipline and things around the house. And a lot of us, we're at work and we're having to initiate all the time, and just you want to come home and relax. And when should we be more initiators? And I think that's one of God's role for us as men, is to be initiators. How to initiate with that. Here's one I really like. Possibly a class where the older men can share with the younger men lessons learned, maybe the hard way. And I'd love to have a quarter with that and some of the older men here. And how do you determine who are the older and who are the younger? Don wrote that.
I think the breakout should be 53.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's another one. Man is the head of the household as God describes. Man as a leader in his church. And here's one I've been thinking a lot about. God's man in caring for extended family, like aging parents or a handicapped brother, things like that. Here's one, servant leadership, finding ministry or ministries to take men out of their comfort zone, which in effect forces us to rely totally upon him. And such ministries will impact every aspect of a Christian man's walk. How to raise children who are in the world but not of the world. That's a big one. Being positive role models, being a better husband, better father, dealing with temptation. I'd like for us to spend some time dealing with the sexual temptation. You know, and we all have more sexual temptation, I think, that we have to deal with than people, I think, have ever had to. We have access to the internet. We have access to so much, and we're such a, just look out there, and you see it. And how do we stay pure? In fact, I had a question I was going to ask. Ephesians 5:3 says, among you there should not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. And here's a question. In relationship to God's standard, is there a hint of sexual impurity in your life? And if so, what do we do about that? Here is one. Want to learn more about the corporate side of church. I've never thought much about that. That's an interesting one. A discussion on father-son relationships would evidently be interesting to me, as well as on our role as a husband. Tools to be a man of God in the workplace would be good too. Diverse ways to lead in God's church, keeping our eyes and hearts in check, and keeping our thoughts pure. Having healthy conversations with our kids about sex, about relationships, about truthfulness, and just letting them see some of Dad's weakness. I never had my dad talk with me about that. You know, some of his weakness. And is it healthy? And at what age would it be healthy? You know, things like that. That's a good one. Possible finances. One could probably take several classes to discuss and teach biblical truths about the topic, but maybe a good overview or pick an area and go into some depth with that. And that was one area I was thinking would be good for us to kind of talk about, because we have a lot of families that are, you know, under a whole lot of stress because they have not been able to handle their finances. Does that affect us spiritually? Absolutely. And just financial integrity, you know, using that credit card, is that something that we should do as godly men? So that's a class that we could possibly spend a whole quarter on. What are some ways in which I can improve in being the spiritual head of my family? That's a big one. Here's another one. Maintaining romance amidst chaos. Romance. What's that? Building confessional relationships with other men and dealing with the worldly temptations. This is probably one that came up the most in all of these, is developing relationships with other men, accountability relationships, and things like that. What does the Bible say about a man's role in the workplace as an employee, as an employer, as a businessman dealing with other business people? So that's a big one. Here's one. Our role as men to lead, but not be dictators or authoritarians. Not a church leadership study, men versus women, as much as home leadership. How to lead our family so that our family will follow. That's a good one. Involving our sons and possibly our daughters in our work with the kingdom as a training situation, form of mentoring. And even, you know, the possibly daughters there. I know that the guy that wrote this didn't have any daughters. But, you know, thinking, how do we involve our daughters into, you know, it's easy for me to work with Adam and Aaron in working, you know, and I'm thinking more of the assembly time. In my past, in my training, that was the extent of how we trained our kids to work in the kingdom. And that's probably too general a statement, but I think you know what I mean. And how do we involve our daughters in letting them see what their role is in the kingdom and in the church, and trying to figure that out. I mean, the church is still trying to figure that out, and we've had a study this summer on that, but I think we can figure out in a very practical way how we can help our daughters. I'm thinking to be evangelists. My daughter is going to be an evangelist. I know, you know, she was talking, coming here today, how her Jewish friend, which is her best buddy, how she prays for her that she will become a Christian. She prays almost every night for that. And how she was excited that she went to some church camp. She gets homeschooled. And she learned the Lord's Prayer. And she was just thrilled as we were coming to church today about that. And, you know, my daughter will be an evangelist and how to really nurture that. She's also, as I think Bob Woldridge said, you know, if you have a prayer request, you know, talk to my daughter. I mean, she prays every night about it. You know, she's... And how can I help her to blossom in the role of working with the church? And that's one of my issues, I guess. How do you figure that stuff out? Leadership in the world, leadership with our families and God's church. Personal accountability to one another. As men, we're not as open to sharing our lives, probably as well as other things, as women are. How can we improve this so that we are always walking in the light? And here's an interesting one that this fella gave about what his wife thinks, what his wife put on here. It's, you know, the life cycle of old cars. When do you get rid of them? I think we can all guess who wrote that down. Okay, let's see here. Here's one. Both my children are away from home. I would like some ideas on getting a spiritual relationship with my daughter. I only see her once a year. Most of our relationship is long distance. You know, so kind of dealing with, you know, those types of issues. That's interesting. Maybe we can have some time just to brainstorm on some things like that. Okay, those are just some things that that you guys wrote down. Do you have any other ideas? As I read these, did you have any other ideas that kind of came forth? Many of you put different people on here. Don and I will go kind of through these and just try to set up a schedule. And I really would like it to be more than just a didactic type of class. That's not my style, first of all. and just some time just to share and to discuss, you know, just the different things. And I guess my style is also, if I come prepared for something and you've got something, especially the nature of this class that's just been bothering you all week, and, you know, I can always do my class next week, and we can just kind of spend some time that day if it's something that you wanted to deal with. So that's just kind of my style of doing things.
Just one other possibility that occurred to me is we have this series on the gender this summer without any firm conclusions, and it's hard for us to talk and ask questions in the big school, and we might want to open it up to talk a little more openly than ourselves.
Okay. Okay, great. Great. Anything else?
I think some people may have touched on it, but I just said I get mentorship.
Mentoring, yes.
Different levels of that. Going from our more senior members to our junior high school, junior high.
Okay. How do you develop a mentoring relationship? And think of more you guys as mentors to some of the younger kids. How do you do something like that? That'd be a good one. So can we go two quarters? All right, let me ask you this question. Anything else on that? Anything else on the survey? If you have the guts, or if you want to go talk to your wife, and put together some stuff, and you just kind of send it to me, email me, or send it to me, snail mail, or call me on the phone. I'll see if we can incorporate something like that if it's worthy. Ooh, it probably is worthy coming from the women. Here's a question for you: what has the portrayal of Jesus in the Gospels taught you about being a man? What has the portrayal of Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, taught you about being a man, being a godly man?
Certainly that mentoring issue comes up because you spend so much time with a few guys.
Okay.
Just about any interaction you had with people, miracles he did.
And I think as dads, we have that obligation to pass that on to our kids. Mm-hmm. And as Rob was saying, you know, there's young guys in the church. Some have dads, some don't. Some mm-hmm. don't have very good dads in yeah. terms of being spiritual leaders. So how do we act like Jesus for those guys that are coming up so we can pass on those leadership skills?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and Jesus is definitely a good role model of that, and how he had a lot of busy stuff he could do. He could have a lot of stuff with people, and he decided for the kingdom to grow, he's going to have to give up something good, healing people, teaching large crowds, teaching small crowds, to spend some time with the 12. And then even with that, not all, always 12. Peter, James, and John.
And you frequently see that after the miracle's performed, you know, your first inclination is to think this is for the person involved, but then afterwards the questions from the disciples come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the real teaching starts.
Then. Yeah, yeah. Good. Good.
Just being able to stay focused on what here is.
Okay.
Pressured to, everyone thought he was going to set up an earthly kingdom, and, you know, the pressures of people wanting to be healed and people wanting to be taught, and he was able to stay focused on what he had to accomplish while he was, the short time he was here. It was a great lesson for us.
Yeah, he was misunderstood. He had so many distractions, yet he remained focused on the areas that were a priority for him. That's good. Very good.
Don? I think the idea that he took time, you see that he took time even to be by himself.
Okay, yeah. Okay. good. He had a, really took some time to nurture his relationship with the Father, and he had plenty of distractions. So, good. Don?
And obviously, Jesus was a perfect example of that. If your anchor is in the right place, you know, you're going to be able to weather and understand anything that this world is going to throw at you. So, as a man, you know, if our anchor is the right place, then whether we're single, married, employed, unemployed, you know, father, or not, we're going to weather through and know how to function.
Okay, good, good. Mark?
Just in the way he dealt with
he valued the valuable in the heart. That's hard to do. Ron?
I think two things. One of them is that Jesus always knew who he was and what his purpose was. And if someone asked him, you know, a question, he always knew that he was the Son of God and that he was God himself. And he reflected that in everything that he said. Mm-hmm. And how I apply that to me is, sometimes I don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think if we figure out who we are and what God wants of us, then we're a long way to being more like Jesus. And then secondly is his focus on, and this is similar to what Mark was talking about, his focus on people. He saw everyone. Mm-hmm. And he didn't see just one little individual. And like Mark said, the higher ones up. And sometimes I think as families, if we don't reflect that we're looking at little people, as the more destitute people of our society and the people who are God's children also, but have not had the same breaks that we have, we're not reflecting to our families that evangelistic fervor that Jesus had because of his reflection of looking at all people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Good. Jeff?
Particularly when you said the betrayal, I see two people in that process, the Judas and the Peter side. And I guess as a man, I see myself failing miserably sometimes. And I've always, Judas gets the bad reputation for being the guy who kissed Jesus and betrayed him, but yet Peter doesn't carry that same connotation long term because of their reaction to, you know, Christ would have forgiven Judas just like he did Peter. But it was Judas who sinned and then didn't have hope for ever recovery, so he killed himself. And Peter did something, you know, whether it was as bad, or, I mean, I'm not here to judge who did the worst, but Peter was committed to it and then denied Jesus. And so they both, one betrayed and the other denied him, but both are very similar in their meaning to a friend, what would happen to you. And yet Peter was accepted back, and Judas would have been too. But Judas couldn't recover from that. And so as a man, when I mess up, then I get a lot of comfort knowing that I could beat myself up and really say, I'm just lousy, and then that's it for the rest. You know, and you lose every possible recovery. Or I could be like Peter and say, you know, okay, I really messed up, but Christ loves me nonetheless, and he's got a role for me somehow. So that betrayal, denial, I see those two together. It's the way Jesus reacted to Peter and accepted him back, challenged him to get better. But yet, look what Peter did, and look how we think of Jesus. So.
Okay. Anybody else? I asked that question when I was in college, when I was dating, or trying to date. And I just read the book In His Steps, which I'd encourage every one of you to read. And I've got some extra books if you like one. What would Jesus do? And I thought, how would Jesus treat women? And I went through all the Gospels, and I did this about 9 months ago with our teen boys, junior high and senior high. We looked, and I did it in college, and we did it with the teens, at every instance where Jesus dealt with women, and I would write it down. And it really helped me to see how, even despite the culture during the time of Christ, I think Jesus revolutionized how women were to be treated. And just the way he treated them with respect and compassion and just honored them just really helped me to see how as a man, I should treat women. Society doesn't encourage it today, but that was something that really helped me to see how women should be treated when I was able to see how Jesus did, and putting it in the context of his culture even magnified it even more. You know, the woman at the well, amazing. He shouldn't have even been talking to her, and how he honored her. And we could go on, Mary and Martha, just some others. Well, man of God, we'll deal with this quarter, all of us together. One question before you leave. You know, over in Ephesians, you know, it talks, it's kind of the, no, over in 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 11, just verse 3. Now, I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, looking at it from the perspective of females, maybe even our wives, you know, the part about God being head over Christ, they don't have any problem with that. The problem of Christ being the head over man, they have no problem with that either. In fact, they probably pray that Christ might be more head of our lives as husbands. The head of woman is man. Now, that's where some of them will have a problem with. And why? Part of it's probably their sinful nature, but most of it's our sinful nature. And they see us. And just want to challenge you as we think about this class this week is, how can you be more, I can't even think of the word, headable. Yeah, so how can you, as Christ being the head over you, how can you be more worthy of being the head over your wife? And then those of you who are single, you know, how, you know, I think the same thing applies to you. You know, as a leader in this world, as a leader in this church, how can you be more leadable? So, let me ask another quick question. How many will be going to the encampment and will be at the encampment Sunday morning? Okay, so how many will be here Sunday morning? Okay, so we have a few that will be here Sunday morning. Okay. How many have no idea yet? You haven't talked to your wives? Okay, yeah, okay. I'll ask that question again next week. Okay. So I know the first weekend of November we won't have class, and then we'll have to see about the encampment, about having class then. Oh, yeah. Can you share just a little bit, some other time. Well, I'll share some. I've heard him talking. I've even got a book that has some descriptions of some of this stuff, although he did it a little different with his girls. Mike has a girl that his oldest daughter got married just 9 months ago. And then he's got a daughter that's leaving next Saturday to travel in Europe. He thought she was going to college this year, and she kind of changed her plans. And
she usurped authority.
Yeah. All right, let's have a prayer before we go into the for services. And Jeff Earnhardt, could you lead?
Lord, I just want to lift up not only our time this morning, but our time these next 2 or 3 months. Just want to ask that you bless the time we spend in our class time here each Sunday morning, the time that we spend reflecting the things we talked about, the time that we spend thinking about the changes that we need in our lives as of our discussions here on Sundays. God, I just pray that you will put in our hearts that desire to be men of God, that you will give us a passion for being leaders in our home, that you will just give us a desire to make this a priority in our lives, that we can stay focused on being husbands and fathers and mentors, that you can give us a passion for fulfilling our role mostly in our home lives, that we'll truly be men who are are effective leaders who inspire our wives and our kids to follow us, and who really do some powerful things through the strength you give us. Lord, I just lift up all the things that we'll be talking about in our class and all the other classes as well. We're excited about our worship time and to see some of the impacts that our kids, that this church has had on the children here and the impacts that we can have on them. I pray that this our worship time will be just really encouraging to us, and it will be really very pleasing to you and very worthy of the honor that you deserve, Lord. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. See you next week.